Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Ivakivalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was initiated into the Hare Krishna Mahamantra by Ishwarapuri, Ishwarapuri recited this verse, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kivalam. Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. To impress upon him that in this age, the age that we're living in currently, the age of quarrel, hypocrisy, confusion, gross materialism, there is only one way, one path to make spiritual progress and to escape the stringent laws and reactions of this age of Kali. And that is to chant the holy names of God. And Lord Chaitanya personally recommends, and Srila Prabhupada's movement is named after this Mahamantra. Whenever Archita Das speaks in a high school or college, the first question he asks the students, why are we called the Hare Krishna movement? And you'd be surprised. Nobody knows. And he says, look, it's on the board. Still they don't know. So he has to tell them. We must have done hundreds of programs. I can't remember one time when any of the students can tell me, say, oh, you're the Hare Krishna movement because that's what you do. You chant Hare Krishna. So, that is our business. Our business is to make the Hare Krishna mantra a household word. But that can only happen if we broadly, widely, loudly preach and tell everyone, yes, we are the Hare Krishna people. Because we have dedicated our lives to giving this Maha Mantra to anyone and everyone. Therefore, please chant for me one time. Tonight my lecture is entitled The Five Subject Matters of Bhagavad Gita. Here is the current edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is. But actually, there is an introduction that is spoken, put in written form. Srila Prabhupada spoke that very early when he arrived in New York City and was living in an apartment, and he spoke and composed his introduction to the Gita Upanishad. And the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust even published a separate book, Introduction to Bhagavad Gita. I highly recommend everyone to read that introduction very, very carefully. Because if you simply read that introduction, it's also here in the book. If you read that very slowly, methodically, carefully, you will understand what is the Bhagavad Gita. So there are five subject matters. The first one, can you please say, Ishwar. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishwar, or the controller, is discussed by Krishna. There are different levels of controller. But, to make it simple, there is the supreme controller in the heart. That supreme controller is a manifestation of Krishna within the heart of every one of us. Sometimes referred to as Param Atma. Can you all say? Or is translated as Super Soul. Just like those of you who are familiar with American culture, Superman. So, Superman, he's a man. But this is Super Soul. So, Krishna in the heart is the Super Soul. And he is Ishwar, the controller. And the Bhagavad Gita explains how the controller, this Paramatma, Krishna in the heart, is the ultimate controller. Krishna explains that this Super Soul in the heart causes us to remember, causes us to forget, and causes us to know something. This controller, Super Soul, Krishna in the heart, in my last lecture here, a couple of Sundays ago, I explained the analogy of the car. So, in that verse, it was stated that the Lord in the heart is directing the wanderings of all of us. He's the supreme director, or you could say traffic controller. Every one of us is busy, going here, going there. But the supreme traffic controller, that's Krishna in our hearts. And the same Krishna in my heart, he's in your heart. It's not that it's a different Krishna competing with you. No, it's the same Krishna in each and every one of our hearts. And it's also explained in Bhagavad Gita that within this body, which is called kshetra, or a field of activities, there is a knower and a super knower. So that super knower, that is Paramatma Krishna in the heart. And it is also explained in Bhagavad Gita, people with material desires, they sometimes worship other gods or demigods for fulfillment, quick fulfillment of desires, material desires. But Krishna explains, Mayaiva vihitani tan, that I am in the heart of that super soul or other god also. And that god cannot sanction your desire unless I approve it. Then, ultimate controller, beyond even super soul, Krishna says, me. Krishna makes it very clear in the Bhagavad Gita, Matak parataram na anyat. There is no controller superior to me. Krishna makes this very clear. And more than once in the Bhagavad Gita, he establishes himself as the ultimate supreme controller of both this material world and the spiritual world too. And that is, you could say, even in chapter 15, Krishna says, if you can accept without any doubt that Krishna is the supreme controller, then you know everything there is to be known in this world. But the question is, how many of us can say without a doubt, yes, Krishna, you are the supreme? But if you can say that, then Krishna says, you know everything. So now you ask yourself, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But you ask yourself, do I accept without a doubt that Krishna is the supreme and there's nothing superior or equal to him? If you can say honestly, without a doubt, Krishna says that you know everything. So I hope that you can say that. If you can, what does Krishna say? That realization didn't happen overnight. That realization takes many, many births and deaths. So if you answered that question and the answer was yes, you have been striving for that realization for so many births, it cannot be counted. It's a blessing. It is the ultimate blessing to come to the realization and know beyond a doubt, yes, Krishna, you are the Supreme. So that's Ishvara. Everyone, one more time, say that word. Ishvara. All right, now we go to the second of the five. And that is Jiva. Everyone say.
Jiva.
So that is you and me. We are Jiva. Jiva means a soul, a living entity. And in terms of the material world, the jiva or the soul is in a body, a material body. Or the same analogy from the previous class, the driver of the car of the body. And we all have different cars. Some of us have female cars. Some of us have male cars, American cars, Indian cars. But as drivers, we're all the same, soul. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes it, actually the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is hammering in 20 verses, you're not your car. You're not your body. You are soul, living soul. And then later in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna goes further and explains, this soul is part and parcel of me, Krishna. And there is the wonderful, best example. Right today, nice sunny day, right? The sun is shining. So you see the nice round sun in the sky, but what is the sun emanating? Rays. One sun, but it's emanating beautiful sun rays. So, this helps us to understand. Krishna is like the sun. We are the sun rays emanating from Krishna. And you don't think that the sun ray is separate from the sun. They're simultaneous. So similarly, the Bhagavad Gita, one of the very first things Krishna explains, you were never born. You always existed. Just as the sun ray exists simultaneous with the sun, we, living entity, eternally existed in the past. Always. We exist now, do we not? Anyone here not existing? And Krishna says, you will continue to exist forever. This is liberation. Here's another test you can ask yourself. When you understand that you always existed, that you never were born, and that you will always continue to exist, that should make you very ecstatic. It's a sign of preliminary self-realization. For myself, coming to Krishna consciousness, when I finally understood, or it made sense, or I accepted, whichever way you want to see it, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that never was there a time when you did not exist. When I accepted that, I said, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. I don't have to worry what I see in the mirror. Because that's not me, thank God. It's a temporary disguise. I've always existed. Not like this. And I will always continue to exist. There's no such thing as death. That's another concept of Bhagavad Gita. Death is a lie. Death is an illusion because I don't die. Yeah, the body, just like the car, right? You all know, you drive a car for what, 5, 10 years, or rich people every other year. You get a new car. When that old jalopy is no longer worth it, and you get your new car, do you cry, oh, my poor jalopy? No, you're happy because you got the new upgrade, didn't you? I used to drive a Toyota, but now I drive BMW. Especially in Los Angeles, everybody's very proud. Look what I'm driving. So, similarly, we have a body now. Krishna says you will always get bodies one after another. Don't worry about it. They come automatically. So to know that I exist eternally, this is very, very liberating. Gives you a whole different perspective, outlook on life. And the Bhagavad Gita explains there's a relationship between soul and the first concept, Ishvar, controller, God, either God in the heart or the ultimate supreme controller, Krishna in the spiritual world. The Bhagavad Gita explains there is an eternal relationship between these two tattvas or truths. And what is that? That we are eternally God's loving servant. Now, generally, when that word comes out, servant, people go, oh, servant. No. Servant is actually glorious. Here's how to understand. He mentioned about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what makes this descent of Lord Chaitanya so wonderful and special is that God himself comes to teach personally that it is better to be the servant of God than God. That's the hidden glory of Lord Chaitanya. It's God himself showing you, hey, blockhead, I'm God, but it's much more ecstatic to be my servant. And I'll prove it to you because I'll show you myself. And that is Lord Chaitanya teaching personally. Look on the altar. Look at Gaur Nitai. How are their hands? Raised high. Do you see them crying? What's the expression on the face? Big smile. Why? Because what's he saying? Hari Bol! If you become Krishna's servant, you'll be just like me. Hari Bol. Yes. So, don't take this word servant in the materialistic negative way. Yes, in the material world, nobody wants to be known as servant. When I used to have an office job in Westwood. So I got some stationery made. So everybody usually puts their name and their title, like, you know, VP. This and that. So when my turn came, on my stationery it said, my name, servant. Because I understood, I ain't the boss there. So I might as well just tell it as it is. Oh, who are you, sir? Oh, servant? Yes, I'm servant. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, taking the understanding of Lord Chaitanya, then you come to an understanding, actually, it's better to be the servant because you enjoy more. Here we see Radha and Krishna, as Shastrakrit Das said, the most beautiful, most famous, right? So look how beautiful is Rukmini Dvarkadish. Are they not the most beautiful? Huh? So, there is Radha and Krishna. But guess what? Krishna tries to understand something. How come Radha enjoys more than me? Krishna says, I don't understand it. And I'm God, Krishna says. Remember I said earlier, there's no truth superior to Krishna. But Krishna himself says, how is it that Radha enjoys more than me? Huh? I'm the reservoir of all pleasure. She enjoys more than me. I don't understand this. I want to understand it. But from the position of Krishna, I can't understand it. If I want to understand it, I have to become in the position of Radha. That's Lord Chaitanya, the hidden meaning. It's Krishna taking the position of the topmost servant of Krishna because he's anxious to taste that ecstasy that he can't taste being God, but can only be tasted by someone who loves God. So, when we hear that we are the eternal servant of God, that actually is the greatest nectar. And someone who is actually Krishna conscious, if you say to that person, you are the eternal servant of God, you're right. Oh, thank you for reminding me. What? You don't want to be God? No, I don't want to be God. That's too much work. Just think if you're God. You might have seen, there was a movie done a couple of years ago, Bruce Almighty. He learned it. It was a silly movie, but it had some good points to it. Where God says, okay, you can be God for a couple of days. I give you all my powers. And he was thinking, yeah. But then he realized, oh, what a headache it is to be God. He actually went crazy. Right? And so it turns out in the end, he realizes actually it's better to be the servant of God. Because to be God, actually we're not fit. That's the problem. We're not fit for the post. It's like, anybody here want to run for president of the United States? No, because you're more smarter than that. So similarly, Krishna consciousness means understanding, accepting, and loving it. Oh, I am Krishna's eternal servant. And I can do something eternally for Krishna. Yes, each and every one of us has an eternal service. Now, we don't know what it is. It's not all the same. That is why we seriously take to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Because we want to find out as soon as possible, what is it that I'm going to do for eternity for God? Some people who are less informed, eternity in heaven? Oh, that must be boring. Yeah, because they don't know. But think about it. You will be able to do something for this most beautiful, wonderful person. Just like in the material world in America, when the young boy and young girl have their puppy love, right? And they're just thinking, oh, when can I be with Snooki? And when can we be together, right? That is one quadrillion, it's like doesn't even compare to the feeling that you can have for eternity, that every day you can get up and maybe be the one that puts the flower in Krishna's hair. Or maybe you're the one that will wake up Krishna in the morning. Or maybe you're the one that will get to wrestle with Krishna. Or help him. You like that, huh? You want to wrestle with Krishna? Be careful, he's strong. Maybe you will be able to dance with him. Or eat with him. I want to eat with Krishna. Because I've read descriptions. Krishna's breakfast. And it's described, Krishna doesn't eat very much. Hey, that's good for me. There are so many things that you'll be able to do, and each and every one of us has an individual, unique service that nobody else can take away. That's your service eternally. And Krishna consciousness means it will be revealed to you. So therefore, if you can appreciate that, then when you get up every day, you chant not like this. No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You're excited. Oh, maybe today will be the day when Krishna will reveal. Not, all right, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No. That's mechanical chanting with no understanding. But just think, that day is coming, that Hare Krishna is coming, when Krishna will reveal himself to me, and I'll know what it is I'm meant to do eternally. That is exciting. That is an impetus for giving me enthusiasm to really chant. Actually, what we're doing, this is all Apprentice, not that silly TV show. We are the real apprentice. We are learning now for the stage when we will actually serve Krishna eternally. The spiritual master is the apprentice teacher. He's preparing us for that day when we will actually serve Krishna forever. All right? So, the living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. Oh, jai, Hari Bol. But there are three more items in Bhagavad Gita. As I said, currently we're soul in a material body. So we're dealing with the third subject, Prakriti. Everyone say. Prakriti is this material energy. And we're struggling with it. That's also explained in Bhagavad Gita. We're struggling with this material body. We have body aches, mind aches. Then we have other bodies cause us trouble. Or we have the elements, the environment, the weather. This is also part of the material energy. So we're grappling with it, struggling with it, dealing with it. You can't escape it. You have to deal with it. You can't just say, oh, I renounce this material world. I want nothing to do with it. Not so fast, not so easy. Can't. You have to deal with it. You have this body. You have to deal with this body. But following Bhagavad Gita, you learn how to deal with it intelligently. Bhagavad Gita gives you the intelligence how to deal with this material world intelligently. Therefore, everyone should be studying Bhagavad Gita so that you know how to deal with this material energy, with its modes, goodness, passion, ignorance. You should know, just like if you're going to drive the car, you have to know the laws of driving. Otherwise, you go through that red light, the photo, click. You had better know what will be the result of going through the red light. You have to know what will be the reaction, and therefore, karma. Item number four. Karma means you're dealing with this material energy, no avoiding it, you have to deal with it, and depending on how you deal with the material energy, you get sometimes a nice reaction, or sometimes not so good reaction. It all depends how you're dealing with this material energy. Just like, for the last week, I've had a very heavy flu. So, that flu came about because I interacted with the material energy in such a way, I got a particular reaction. And now I am enjoying, the consequences. So, karma means that how you deal with the material energy of Krishna, you get a corresponding reaction. And if you want to end it up, if you want to finish when you've had enough of dealing with the material energy, Krishna says, okay, you've had enough of my material energy, only one way out. What is that way out? It's called what? You didn't know? It's in Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Surrender. When you see Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, you see those arms? That's called surrender. They are saying, we surrender to Krishna. We no longer want to enjoy or exploit this material energy. We give up, we surrender. Krishna says that's the only way to get out. No Hari Bol, no surrender, come back again. Come back again and again and again, and could go on for millions of lifetimes. Until the point of surrender, there is no other alternative that is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, my material energy, which comes from me, is insurmountable. The only way to cross over it is to surrender. Then the next intelligent question should be, okay, what do I got to do to surrender? Yes, that's the intelligent conclusion. And that, how to surrender, easy. Follow Lord Chaitanya. Hands raised. Who wants to surrender? Good. You don't. Who wants to stay and come back? I'm just checking. So nobody wants to come back. You all want to go to Krishna, right? So you raise your hands and you loudly chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There you go. First, I have to convince you that you should surrender. That's the first thing. You don't surrender? Okay. You're going to come back and take birth again somewhere, someplace. But if you don't want to come back, here's the only way. Surrender to Krishna by chanting his name. Then the fifth item, time. Everything in this material cosmic manifestation is under the control of Krishna's time representative. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am time, and I've come to destroy everything. We see it every day. I look in the mirror, another wrinkle, another gray hair, another tooth fell out. What happened to my beautiful body? Time. There's this thing called planned obsolescence. The demons, when they create a car, a computer, or anything, they build into it certain things that causes it to break down, so you have to buy another one. They don't build a car that's going to last 100 years, do they? No. They don't want you to have a car that lasts for 100 years. They want to make you a car that'll last 5 years, and so you have to come back wagging your tail, please give me another car, and I'll sell my soul. That's the demons. Krishna talks about demons in the Bhagavad Gita also. So, this whole cosmic manifestation has planned obsolescence built in by Krishna. And what is that? Destruction. This material world is in destructive phase. But Krishna is so clever, it happens imperceptibly, and you don't notice it unless you're really sharp. If you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll see how it's happening. And for a devotee of Krishna, time becomes his friend. For a non-devotee, time becomes his enemy. Because in the back of his mind, he knows, oh, the clock is ticking. I have only so much time. I have to make my millions. I have to go here. I have to go there. I have to do this. I have to do that. Because they know in the back of their mind, oh, now I'm 40. Life begins at 40. Oh, who are you trying to kid? Life begins at 40. That's something you tell yourself, but you know it's a lie. Now they have a new one. Oh, life begins at 60. Now who are you really trying to kid? Yes. For the non-devotee, this time element becomes their ultimate enemy. In fact, it can be compared to a serpent. And ultimately that serpent will take that life away. Finish. Next chapter. Take your next birth. But for a devotee, the time element says, yes, this body is done. Now I am going to Krishna. So for the devotee, it's like, again, Hari Bol. Because my death means, as I said, I don't die. I'm going to Krishna. Because I have surrendered. Maybe some of you have heard the wonderful story of Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj ruled this earth for 36,000 years, and he had senses that didn't grow old. He had youthful senses for 36,000 years. That's how to enjoy the material world. But he had to die. But when death came, because Dhruva was a Hari Bol devotee, death came personified. But he stepped on the head of death and went into a special aeroplane sent by Krishna. A spiritual aeroplane. There was no baggage check. He stepped on the head of death and went into the aeroplane and went to Krishna. Who would like to do that? Step on the head of death. You can. Just keep doing Hari Bol. And when death comes, you'll tell death, Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Come on. I wanted to dedicate tonight's class to my mother. We had this week, on Thursday, we celebrated Shivaratri. So last year on Shivaratri Day, my mother left her body. So this class was dedicated to her, and I want to offer a prayer. My dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please make sure that my mother right now is in the association of devotees. If she's in the association of devotees, then she's okay. So that's my only request, my dear Lord. Please put my mother in the association of pure devotees of Krishna. Now, if you liked my presentation tonight, I have this Bhagavad Gita DVD where I explain the entire Bhagavad Gita in English, verse by verse. It's a set of four DVDs, and I'm selling it for the low rock bottom price, $29.99. So anyone who is interested, you can get an autographed copy of Bhagavad Gita DVD. And in all humility, I must say, there is nothing better. So anyone, yes? You have it, right? How do you recommend it?
Top.
Thank you. Did I pay you to say that? Okay. So we're going to do a little chanting. And then after, you, anyone who's interested can get a Bhagavad Gita DVD. Yes, you have a question? What is your question? I didn't hear the last part. What was the last thing you said? What did she say?
The mind?
Yes, that's Krishna's mercy on you. Because if you were to remember so many things from your past life, you'd get a headache. So Krishna is nice to you, and you start off with a clean slate. I know that if I was to remember my past life, I would never sleep because I would remember all the stupid things I did. So Krishna is nice to me and he says, okay, you can forget that you were a fool in your last life. Now be a good boy and chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Everybody surrender! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.